Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I am Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show alongside Carlos Ortiz, Marco Belletti as well on the updates. We've got the next 4 hours with you talking a lot about what happened over the weekend, how it will relay itself into the week regarding the NHL playoffs, regarding the NBA playoffs. Actually had quite a nice monologue prepared to talk about the differences in the game sevens of the respective sports. Wanted to talk about the home crowd situation for Winnipeg and how great that must have been when they thought they were done on Sunday. And meanwhile, you've got the Houston Rockets, who the last decade they cannot get past this Warriors team, finally think they have an opportunity to do it. Nope, that didn't happen either, but we're going to start tonight, and we'll get to all that. There's so much to get to. Oh, just so much to get to. My God. I might petition for an 8-hour show tonight. I might petition for a 12-hour show. I might petition to speak until I cannot speak no more. There is just so much to get to. You don't have to be here the whole time. You can dip.
Oh, thank God.
I've just got so much to get to. I mean, I got to talk about Justin Tucker was cut. I got to talk about Sherrone Moore's being self-banned by Michigan for 2 whole games. I got to talk about the NFL draft coming to the Washington Mall. I got to talk about, I think 4 hours might be okay, actually, now that I look at the agenda. But I do got to talk about, off the top, a game that finished maybe 10, 15 minutes ago, and that was that the New York Knicks, who were down 20 points at one point in this game, came back in overtime to beat the Celtics 108 to 105. Really a shocking comeback from the Knicks tonight for a bunch of different reasons. This is a Boston team that they've been unable to beat all year. This is a Boston team that has shown its championship medal. This is a Boston team that was at home. And this is a Boston team that was up 20 points. And you don't come back on this Celtics team when you are down 20 points. But that's exactly what the Knicks were able to do, using clutch threes from OG Anunoby, using clutch threes from Jalen Brunson, who at one point was like the greatest basketball player that was ever created. Missed a shot at the end of regulation that is a wonder how it did not go down, but they were able to hang on and fight another day. Big defensive play as the inbound came to Jaylen Brown. They had 3 seconds on the clock. Jaylen Brown got the inbound. Mikal Bridges just took it right out of his hands. And the Knicks go into Boston and win game one to, if nothing else, make this series a hell of a lot more interesting than we thought it might be. I saw plenty of Celtics in five. I don't think I saw anything more than Celtics in six. What I mean by that is I didn't see anyone say Celtics in seven, and I'm not sure I saw anybody take the Knicks. It's maybe one or two people. But it's like that are, you know, hey, if they lose, whatever, if they win, look at me. That's smart. That's a nice strategy. But this series, while it could still be, you know, Knicks figure it out, Celtics rather figure it out, and you know, by this time next week, Celtics are up 3-1. And it's like game one was just shaking the cobwebs out of the system. But this was the kind of game that I think Knicks fans needed to see to give themselves a belief that they did have a shot in this series. This was also the kind of the game that I think the Knicks themselves needed to have so that they knew they weren't going to just be in the way of Boston's eventual quest to take on the Cleveland Cavaliers, which that series starting shaky for Cleveland, losing game one, and now some injury concern. So what we thought we knew in the East, at least, is not to be. Maybe the same in the West. Game one between the Nuggets and the Thunder happening now, and then tomorrow it's the Timberwolves and the Warriors. The six-seeded Timberwolves will be hosting game one of an NBA playoff series. You don't see that much. You do not see that much, and you're going to see that starting on Tuesday night, starting tomorrow. So for the Knicks, a couple of different things. One, you went down big. I mean, 20 points against the Celtics at home in a game one. Many teams have gone into the TD Garden, have been dropped on their head instantly like that, and had been unable to recover. It was 61-45 at halftime, and the Celtics eventually got it to 75-55. Knicks made a three. Knicks scored again. Celtics get a couple back. Knicks start hitting more shots. And by the end of the third quarter, the Knicks, who were down 16 at half, find themselves only down 9. And in the fourth quarter, I mean, as soon as this thing started, they essentially erased that deficit or got back to within 1 with 8 minutes to go, and you knew this was going to be a knockout kind of game. Knicks taking the lead with Jalen Brunson three-pointer to go 94-91, and they eventually had gotten up 6 on another Brunson three, but the Celtics fighting back, and then just not enough. Had a chance to win it at the end of regulation. Tatum couldn't get a good shot off, had a chance to tie it at the end of the overtime period, and again, Jaylen Brown just got the ball ripped away from him. I mean, the normal sports radio phrase to say here is he got pickpocketed like he was taking candy from a baby there. Not sure the accent, but the phrasing's right. Jaylen Brunson, huge in this game. This has been a star-making playoffs for him. So Brunson, we already knew, was a great free agent signing for the Knicks. Just another mistake that the Mavericks sort of fell into. He averaged 31 points a game in the 6 games against Detroit. His game 5 was a little shakier. He was just 4-16 shooting. But he came back with a 40-piece in game 6, a game in Detroit, which the Knicks kind of clawed away from the Pistons. Tonight, he's 9 of 23, 5 of 9 from 3, and that's where he really came in clutch, was knocking down some of those big shots. Now, he did have a shot at the end, like I said, near the end of regulation. He tried to get one off the glass over Al Horford that, for some reason, was not going to allow itself to go in. One of those shots that, you know, the bench is up and they're ready to burst, and then, not quite. But as much as this is about the Knicks, and it is, it's about the Knicks. It's about the Knicks because they were down, able to come back, and then they were able to close it out. So sometimes in these game ones, it's clear that the Knicks are the underdog in the series. It's totally clear. And I don't know that you're going to convince too many people that thought Celtics in 5 or 6 that they still weren't going to have that outcome. I really do think that a lot of people that are backing the Celtics have immense confidence in them. But the Knicks did a couple of things to start this series that will help them throughout, and that is going down big and showing that they can climb out from that hole, and then also at the end of the game, being able to close out the game. Going down big, coming back, and then closing out. Those two things that they did are going to come in handy now throughout this series. Anytime the Knicks are down, they're going to say, hey, we already came back. We know we can do it. Anytime it's a close game, they're going to say, hey, we won game one. We know we can do it. So it's one thing to think you can do it, and it's another to maybe have done it in the regular season, although this team did not do it. They did not beat them once. But to do it in game one in the playoffs in their building, I do think goes a long way. We've seen teams that have had some time to rest. We've seen them come out, maybe be a little rusty, a little shaky, lose game one, come back and win the series in five or six. And maybe that's what's at play here with the Celtics. Maybe that is what's at play. Maybe the Celtics still win in five. Maybe they go to New York, have no problem. Maybe they win in six, have no problem. But where I think it might be different is how the Knicks won. Is that they were down big. I've seen a lot of teams go into that building and be down 20 points in the third quarter, and there's not even an effort to pretend to try because it's hard to come back. Now, it's about the Knicks. I'm saying it's about the Knicks, but there's one massive thing that makes this also about the Celtics, and that is that they were 15 of 60 from beyond the arc. They were 15 of 60 from beyond the three-point line. One of the problems, I think, with the Celtics, and they won the championship last year, but maybe it cost them this year, we'll see, is they may be too reliant on the three. I mean, they shot it 60 times, but it's not like they have to be. This is a team that should be able to get buckets. This is a team that has enough talent where they should be able to score almost at will. I mean, the three-point shot is a big part of the game. Don't get me wrong. Okay, don't get me wrong. But they should be able to not have to take 63s and win a game. Now, Kristaps Porzingis did leave the game in the first half. Injury, illness, problems with him. So he left. Maybe it's a different outcome if he stays in the game. But if you're going to talk about the Celtics in this game, you've got to talk about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And they need both of these guys to be on if they're going to not just make a run in the East, but win this series. Jason Tatum, 7 of 23 overall, 4 of 15 from 3. 4 of 15 from 3. Jaylen Brown, 7 of 20 overall, 1 of 10. He didn't make his last 3 until, I believe it was in the overtime period when they needed it, but it came very, very late. The two combined were 5 of 25 from 3. The Celtics, 15 of 60 from 3. If you're thinking to yourself, 15 of 60, that means they missed 45 times? That's got to be some kind of a record. It is. It is. No team in the history of the NBA playoffs has ever missed 45 three-point attempts. It's wild. It's insane. And this is the problem that I have, and I think a lot of people have, when we're trying to evaluate Jason Tatum's greatness or Jason Tatum's where he ranks in this game. He's won a championship. He got that off his back, although he did not win the finals MVP. Jaylen Brown did. A lot of times when he's in these big games, it's a Derek White or an Al Horford that will bail him out. I was on him after game one against the Magic. He had 17 points, 1 of 8 from 3. And then he followed up game 3, 4, 5 after he missed game 2. He followed that up with 36, 37, 35. And tonight you're like, oh, 23 points, 16 boards, 6 assists, a couple of steals, a block. That's a nice stat line. But when you've got that 4 of 15 sitting there, there were 11 times you decided to take a three, and there were 11 times that you could not bail out your team or help your team, and you lost by three. You only needed one of those to go down. And he took some big-time shots in big-time moments at the end of the game, and there was no clutch factor. That was all with Jalen Brunson. That was all on the other side with the Knicks. So if they're going to win this series, obviously they're going to need better from that. 45 missed threes. I mean, if the Celtics would have won that game, the Knicks would have been, this is the complete opposite. Then you're thinking, okay, we gave it our best. We came back. They missed 45 three-pointers, and we still couldn't beat them. We're doomed. We're doomed. But that's how big one or two stops is, because they were able to get them, especially at the end. They're great play from Mikal Bridges, and they won this basketball game. So that's how we start the night. This game was supposed to end maybe 45 minutes ago, just wrapped up about 15. 108 to 105. Knicks beating the Celtics to have a 1-0 advantage in this series. Game 2 will be on Wednesday night, of course, still in Boston. The Nuggets and the Thunder in action right now. Thunder with a 1-point lead, just starting the second quarter. Big ovation for former Thunder member Russell Westbrook. And that is a team we're going to look back on a little bit. Them being Westbrook and Harden and Durant and just what they had there in Oklahoma City. Because as we've seen these paths diverge, Durant's been able to get a couple of titles. But Westbrook searching, and James Harden once again. A bad game 7 for him. He's now lost a game 7 with 4 different franchises. So plenty of basketball to get into. Hockey will not be neglected. Baseball will not be neglected. Football will not be neglected. We'll cover a little bit of everything tonight along with the help of you. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. We'll come on back and take a look at the contrasting styles of what we saw in the game 7s this weekend, and do the Cleveland Cavaliers have something to worry about going down 0-1 to the Indiana Pacers? It seems like they may. We'll get into all that coming up. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. That was friend of show Kevin Harlan, TNT, the broadcasting network. This is their last hurrah, TNT. These games next year will either be on NBC or Amazon Prime. Also, the regional sports networks, you may have been able to watch your team on a regional sports network, whether it was an NBC one or a FanDuel, or they're not allowed to do that anymore. Those are going to go away too. So sometimes people like to watch that first round with the hometown team and then not go to the national coverage until they have to. But that is going away. There is a problem, because if you're on NBA TV, then you get blacked out in some cases locally, which is stupid. So this will be a way for everybody to watch, but some people are going to miss that. And that's been a kind of a different thing. It'd be like if you had that for football. Like, what if in the wildcard round you could, now they don't have, just take that out of the podcast. I don't know what I'm talking about. I went too far. I walked in the water, and then it was water over my head. I went too far. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Great note here from Michael at Bart Winkler Show. The Celtics missed 45 threes tonight. That's almost one per minute. That's a lot. Celtics losing in overtime. You heard the final call there. Knicks 108 to 105. They take game 1. Big play defensively. Not a great stat night for Mikal Bridges. 3 of 13 shooting. But defensively, he had 2 blocks. He had 3 steals. He played 51 minutes and still had enough stamina to rip the ball out of Jaylen Brown's hands. And all I could think of was Mark in California, who's been calling up for weeks, calling him Alan Crabb. That's one hell of a play from Alan Crabb, Mark.
Listen, I mean, he did have an off night, but listen, dude's an Iron Man. But listen, 45 threes, man. And now I'm thinking, if we won game 1, it can't be Boston in 5. I don't think Boston's going to beat the Knicks 4 straight games, right?
No, I would agree.
Yeah, and if you watch the Orlando series, I mean, Orlando took away the three ball, not just one game, not two games, but like the entire series. And in one game, quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, Orlando was fighting around. In the fourth quarter, Orlando just couldn't pull it out. His Knicks team is a little better in the fourth quarter. But and I'm not ready to harp on, like, oh, my God, like game one. The one thing I do want to harp on is the fact that the Knicks were out-rebounded, not just in double digits, but seven, I think 19-12 on the offensive rebounds. I mean, Derek White jumping over, like, two guys. Even, you know, small ball Holiday jumping over Karl Anthony Towns is disgusting. Like, that needs to get cleaned up, man. Cause
I would say, just, I would I say there are some things that I would like to see to make sure that the Knicks have a chance to win this series. I don't know that I would be harping on anything. This was an incredible win.
Yeah, that was a big win. It's just, you know, a lot of the stuff that we did wrong, we reverted back to down 20. I mean, my wife was watching the game with me, and she was just like, man, like, the Knicks just keep hitting themselves in the foot. Like, they were so good against Detroit. Like, she doesn't watch basketball, but I'm like, listen, Detroit's nowhere on the level of Boston. She's like, but Boston's really not that good. I'm like, they won the championship last year. She's like, oh, okay.
So, like, dude, yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm trying to tell her, but if we do end up pulling this out, you know what I mean? If we do end up pulling this out, but do you think we'd be favored against Indiana if Indiana beats Cleveland?
Well, let me think about that, Mark. Thanks for the call. I would think that you would be, although Indiana, all right. So let me try to talk about these teams. The Western Conference, I can give you very thoughtful, nuanced, unbiased analysis. With me being a Milwaukee guy, the Eastern Conference is a little tougher for me because I am critiquing and answering questions about teams that I flat out do not like, comma, despise, comma, have no interest in even watching, comma, although when I do, it's to root for their collective downfall. Now, the big problem that I have with the Celtics series is my kid is rooting for the Celtics because a stupid little Milwaukee basketball league got five teams in it and had to name one of them the Celtics. Think about it. It's like having a little football league around here. You're the Packers, you're the Bears, you're the Vikings, you're the Lions, you're the Cowboys. And then you got kids growing up as Bears fans when they should have no business being as such. So, break his little heart in the morning. He says, who do you root for, Daddy? I say, oh, son, you're going to make me say Celtics, but deep down inside, I want the Knicks so bad. I want the Knicks so bad. So, here's to answer that question. First about the Pacers, because that was the question. The Knicks would be favored against the Pacers, I believe. However, and maybe we're too early to talk about any of this, but both teams did go on the road and get a game one win. The Cavs have some injuries that they are concerned about, real concern about a couple of guys, DeAndre Hunter, thumb, Evan Mobley now, ankle, Darius Garland, missed game one. So this Cavs team that looked unbeatable, all of a sudden, there's a lot of holes. Not being exposed, but just there's a lot of, I mean, this needs to be a healthy team. Thing about the Pacers is, maybe there's not another team that knows how to play the way they know how to play like the Pacers. They know what their limitations are. They know what their strengths are. And so they play to their strengths. I mentioned the Celtics earlier. This is not a team that needs to be taking 63s. They've got more talent. 63s, you don't need to be taking that. Just play basketball, run some sets, make some plays. And they're very analytical there, and it's won them a championship. So who am I to question? But it doesn't feel like we're ever getting the best version of the Celtics. It feels like we're getting a, hey, we found a cheat code way. Just jack up a bunch of threes. When you make them, it's great. When you miss them, tonight happens. Now, the thing about tonight with them missing all those threes is the Celtics have kind of found this avenue that even when they do something like this, miss 45 threes, playoff record, they still are able to win. Even when they do something that other teams would lose, if they had done it, the Celtics still find a way to win. And so credit to the Knicks for being able to do that tonight. The Pacers, again, back to the Pacers, they know who they are. They know who they are. I don't like how they, you know, only talk tough when they're up. I don't like that they treat game one of a series against the hapless Bucks like it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to them. But they feed off that, and they're an irritating team to play. So they do know their strengths. Tyrese Haliburton, you're watching some of this game against the Cavs, and the same thing happened with Milwaukee. Like, I thought the Cavs had a little more size. He's just able to go to the basket and do whatever he wants, anytime. No one's stopping him. Giannis Antetokounmpo tries to drive to the basket. There's three guys on him. They make a little wall. Maybe make a Tyrese wall. He gets the ball. He's just like, does one little fake, goes around these guys all the time. Some of the Bucks weren't even guarding him. They weren't quick enough to run with him. He'd start his action at the top of the three and just run past, and he'd run past a guy like Brook Lopez, and the other four guys would just be like, huh, that's interesting. Oh, go get him. So until somebody tries to take that away from the Pacers, yeah, maybe they will beat Cleveland. Maybe they will. Especially if Cleveland's banged up. Boston, Cleveland. Still could be the Eastern Conference Finals. They play a best of seven for a reason. But I think the Cavs got to be a little nervous. And I think the Celtics are going to be less nervous, but the Knicks, you know, this almost feels like when Eli Manning lost to the Patriots. It's like, oh, we can do this. I know they won this game, but you gave the Knicks some belief when you could have just taken that 20-point lead and beat them down. Johnny is in Atlanta. See, I said some nice things about your Pacers.
Now, I'll put it like this, Bart. If one old person step in the ring with me, I'm knocking them out. You better learn how to kickbox. I don't care if you hurt or not. When you come here to play, and you better play. And if you said one thing, they got to guard them. Because they had Mitchell on them, they couldn't guard them. Come on now. And what y'all say, he's labeled as the most overrated player? Was he labeled as the most overrated player, but he do anything
he was voted court? As the most overrated player by his peers, I'll remind you.
Okay.
His peers.
I guess that's why they let him do anything they want, because they underestimate him. So keep on underestimating him all the way to the championship. That's what I'm talking about. We took game one. That's all we want to take. One out away, and then we'll take the other two at home, and we'll finish it off. And we won't see the Knicks, because the Celtics have no shot against the Knicks. They struggle. See, the Pacers beat the Cavs with no problem. It was always a 10-point lead. They'll catch up, then we'll put the starters back in. Then become another 10-point lead. We have, it's going to be a good series. And like I said, I still think Cleveland might give them a run, but I think we might pull it out. We're going to pull it out.
So, well, yeah, I give it a lot more of a possibility than I did 24 hours ago.
I know, because guess what? We came to play because how Mather is knocking them threes down? Come on, man. We here. We gonna do it. Y'all keep on underestimating the Pacers, man. I'm telling you, we finna shock the world. We'll see Celtics in a few more weeks. We'll see Celtics in a few more weeks.
All right, we'll see, Johnny. Thanks for the call. Pacers beating the Cavs yesterday in what was a fun day of not just NBA action, NHL as well, with the Game 7s that were going on throughout the weekend. We'll get into those, give you an update on this Thunder and Nuggets game, which it's very early, but it does seem like the Thunder are figuring out Jokic. I mean, he's still going to have a monster game, but they're picking off his passes. They're taking the ball away from him. This Thunder team may be making a statement tonight. A lot of time, very early for me to say anything like that, but it's just the vibe I'm getting some 20 minutes into this basketball game. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. All that and more coming up, including the Bulletin Blitz. But first, here's an update. Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
Tatum, two dribbles with the right, hangs in the air, runs it off the window and in.
The biggest voices in sports.
Towns fires away. Bang! Carl Anthony Towns from downtown.
The heartbreak.
Grabbing his left knee. He's in some severe pain.
The celebrations.
But it's no longer what could be or what might be. Now it just is. The 2024 Boston Celtics are one of the greatest teams in NBA history.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
That's right. It is the Bulletin Blitz here on the Bart Winkler Show. It is Monday, May 5th, 2025, otherwise known as Cinco de Mayo, otherwise known as Winko de Mayo. Bart, I did not forget what you just said on Friday. It's the one and only time I'm going to say Winko de Mayo. You're welcome.
He said it twice.
Well, I just counted it all in like one fell swoop. You know, same kind of thought. All right, let's go to Greg Popovich. The news on Friday, he is calling it quits, at least when it comes to his head coaching career. Health issues are a big part of it, but he's going to be stepping down. Mitch Johnson will be the new head coach going forward. Greg Popovich will remain as the president of basketball operations. Press conference, funny moment, he took off of his jacket, revealing a t-shirt that says, El Jefe, that's the boss.
Was that funny? Why was that funny? Everyone thought that was funny. I'm not sure why that was so funny.
Because, like, Popovich is like the last guy you would imagine calling himself El Jefe, so there's that.
Yeah, I don't know. He's the greatest coach ever. I don't know.
Is he? Upon retiring, he gives his thanks to everybody.
I want to thank all of you in here, former players, coaches, friends, people from the ticket office, or people who put on a show during timeouts. We all have a part in this. It's not just the players and the coaches. Everybody has been dedicated to do their part to make a successful, thriving organization.
Yeah, with him, I will say it does seem like he gets it more than a lot of people do, that it takes a lot of people to put on the operations. And sure, you know, coaches are making millions of dollars, players are making millions of dollars, but there's other people with real lives putting themselves into that organization as well. And that's why so many former players and other people, they'd come and want to be a part of Popovich's press conference today because of the impact that he has had. So I don't not recognize that. I just don't know what the El Jefe is. I don't know. I didn't laugh.
Yeah. I guess you had to be in the room. By the way, this game going final, the Toronto Maple Leafs will beat the Florida Panthers to take game one. Toronto is going crazy, don't you know? 5-4, you're scored there. Audio will come maybe a little bit later on today. Let's go rewind to Sunday, which is yesterday for most people. Pacers getting the surprise win? Question mark. I am Rob Burgundy. 121-112 over the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cavs got some major issues in terms of the injury bug there. So I don't know if this is the same Cleveland team that we've seen in the regular season. But Kenny Atkins said post game said, "Hey, we need to bounce back in game two."
I think we have great leadership that starts there. So we'll bounce back. Got to win four. You know, and like I said, they played outstanding. Guys are good spirits. We just got to check our health status. That's going to be, you know, big. Where are we? Get our recovery. Be ready to go for game two.
It's Coach of the Year, Kenny Atkinson, and he's going to have to earn it now in the playoffs. He got it in the regular season. They had a tremendous year. Now you're going to have to earn it in the playoffs, and this may need to be a situation where these guys need to step up. But this would be the same gripe that I had about the Pacers last year, beating the injured Bucks, beating the injured Knicks. Oh, look at that. They played the Bucks again this year. Damian Lillard's out. Oh, they play the Cavs this year. Now everybody's injured. I don't like what's going on with Indiana. I feel like I'd like to see them beat a team that's healthy rather than just beat the dead carcass of a playoff contender like they have been doing.
Yeah.
I saw a dead carcass today. I saw a dead bunny. It was missing its head. I keep seeing, yeah, every time I see a dead bunny around, I just see them without their head. One time I actually just found a straight bunny head in my driveway.
Oh, gross. Yeah. What is going on in Milwaukee that bunnies are getting decapitated, that it sounds like a regular occurrence?
We got to get their eggs.
Here's Jimmy Butler.
Eggs.
The Warriors, they salvage their seven-game series against the Rockets, winning 103-89. That Game 7 was a stinker. But the Warriors did manage to stave off elimination, almost blowing a 3-1 lead to get it done. Jimmy Butler on the team's resiliency.
I'm going to take how resilient we are as a group. Coming from where they were, you know, post-trade before I got here, and the way that everybody locked in and it made me feel welcome, and we took off this way. And we never wavered. The confidence never went anywhere. Really good group of hoopers, really good group of people. So that's what I'm going to take into this next round is we got some guys that can play at an extremely high level. And on any given night, it could be anybody's night.
Well, it was. It was Buddy Hield's night. And I don't know if anybody saw that coming, but Buddy Hield, who got the start, went 9 for 11 from 3. I believe that is the record, might tie the record, is the record for most three-point makes in a Game 7. And they needed it. Steph Curry only had 3 points at halftime. Now he finished with 22. Jimmy Butler made a couple of big threes. He had 20 points. Draymond chipped in with 16. But Warriors fans will, you know, no matter how long this run goes, and we'll find out, this will be remembered as the Buddy Hield game, because Buddy Hield made 9 threes out of nowhere. He had 33 points. It was quite the scene to behold in Houston. The previous game, by the way, Game 6, he had 0 points. And the game before that, he had 4. And then he ripped off 33. So
he's just picking his spots. Let's stay with Houston. Let's go to the Rockets. Here's Ime Udoka, because he's asked an interesting question. Because, again, that Game 7 was a dud. So he asked, did the Warriors win, or did you guys just lose?
At times, for sure. You know, like I mentioned, you miss free throws. That's a sign right there. You know, in a one-possession game, you miss 12 free throws or whatever it was. You saw the numbers when we missed free throws in the three games that we lost early. So that part stands out. You know, open shots are open shots. You're going to make them. You're going to miss them. And I think nobody's intentionally trying to miss the shots. So we had the poor shooting nights where we played good enough defense. And so, like I said, those ones stood out, especially two games, Game 3 and 4 in Golden State.
Yeah, Game 7, 15-21. The Warriors only got to the line 9 times. Jalen Green not happy with his performance. He only had 8 points. He had 38 points. So here's Jalen Green for the Rockets throughout the 7 games. His point total. 7, 38, 9, 8, 11, 12, 8. So they had some guys that outside of Van Vliet and maybe Şengün weren't able to score. That's what happened last night. Amen Thompson did have 24. But Dylan Brooks, not much. Green, not much. Jabari Smith off the bench, not much. Light night for Steven Adams. They just didn't have enough guys that can score. They didn't have, you know, Draymond, Jimmy, Butler, and Steph scored. And then they had Buddy Hield come out of nowhere. Rockets did not have that.
Oh, you mean Dylan Brooks didn't have a good game after being an agitator pretty much all series? Interesting. Let's go to the other Game 7 that we had. This one was on Saturday. Nuggets, they advance. They're taking on the Thunder right now. That game is in overtime. I'm sorry, in halftime. The Clippers, they're going home. Obviously, a disappointing season.
How far behind am I? Jeez.
Not that far. So here's Kawhi Leonard. What went wrong in Game 7?
I think we could have gave a better effort, for sure. At the time, I don't think this team was 30 points better than this. I mean, we've seen it throughout the first six games of this series. But you got to give them credit. They came out and fought, ran hard in transition, got easy points, and they made shots.
Take a look at the Clippers coming up here, and the big question for them is James Harden. He's got a player option he could opt into, and if he does, does he get another extension? Do they build around him? What do the Clippers do from here? And a lot of criticism on James Harden, as I mentioned earlier. It's now four different teams that he has lost a Game 7 with, and he has not performed well in Game 7. We'll have some of those numbers for you coming up. As we're watching the Thunder here, you think back to those early Thunder teams with Westbrook, Durant, and Harden. Durant was able to get a couple of titles, but we all say he took the easy way for those. Westbrook and Harden, you know, still searching. So we'll kind of look at what happened there and what's next for the Rockets, what's next for the Clippers. And the action we're in the middle of tonight. Lot to get to. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.